Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for redirecting us tonight. And I do pray that you would use tonight as an encouragement for your people. We live in very serious times in our nation and around the world. I believe, Lord, we're heading into the days where your word says that things are going to get very interesting. And yet, Lord, before we get to the days of the great tribulation, your word also says that you'll be taking your bride off this earth. Lord, you'll literally be sweeping us off our feet in what we call the rapture. Lord, the Bible says we'll meet in the air with you, and we will forever be with you, Lord. How we look forward to that day. And so I pray tonight that as we get into Psalm 46, I pray you'd encourage us, Lord. We'd be reminded of who you are and your greatness. We'd have your comfort ministered to our heart. And Lord, just help us to get our eyes back on you and our focus on you. And I do pray, God, you would send revival to your church. We need revival in your church, Lord. And I pray you'd have mercy on us as a nation. For certainly, Lord, we deserve judgment. And we're trusting in you, Lord, that you will, again, do what's right. You're a righteous God, but we ask you have mercy. And we thank you that you're a merciful God. And pray now you open your word to us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 46 says to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song of Alamoth. Remember, not all the psalms were written by David. And so this is one that was not written by David. And it's a psalm, again, that speaks of just God's faithfulness and, again, being a very present help in time of trouble and the future and the hope that we have in the Lord. I think one of the things we need to do when we enter into difficult times, difficult days, either personally or as a nation or whatever the case might be, is remembering that we have a glorious future. We have a great future ahead, and that's where our focus has to be, is on the Lord and on what he has planned for us. And that's what this psalm is about. And he says, God is our refuge and strength. Note this, a very present help in trouble. And I believe right now our nation's in great trouble. Now, again, we don't know what's going to happen ultimately with all this going on with our elections and all that's happening as far as that goes. We certainly don't look toward men to be our saviors. We don't look toward men to have the answers. But at the same time, you can see what God is doing in a nation and what people are doing, and it kind of gives you a glimpse as to where your nation is headed. And I believe we're headed very possibly into troublesome times. We'll see. We don't know yet. But he says the Lord is a very present help in trouble. And note this, therefore we will not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so that's where we have to keep our focus and keep our eyes. The Lord knew we would live in this time. He knew we would live in this day. He knows what his plans are for, I believe, the last days. I believe we're in those. And the Bible says again, in the last days, it will be a time of sorrows and a time of trouble. And so these are the things we have to remember. He's a very present help in the midst of that. We're not alone. With the world is the arm of the flesh, as the Bible says. But with the believer is the arm of God, the God of Israel. And so we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. So even if it's beyond the results of a national election or anything else, he says, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So if the land gets destroyed, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. And I love this, Selah. And the Selahs are meaning more to me now as we're going through the Psalms this time. I think really more than ever. I've always known that it meant, you know, kind of a meditation, but I'm really using it as a meditation. And what he's saying is, what the Holy Spirit is saying through the psalmist here is God is a very present help in time of trouble, regardless of how bad things look or get. Meditate on that. Meditate on it. Lord, what's going on? You know, a lot of people have a lot of opinions when it comes to elections. And people choose this side, they choose that side, they have their political issues, and we're in the middle of that. But for me, as a pastor, from a pastor's perspective, rising up above the politics, sitting in the clouds with the Lord and his word and the Spirit, for me, the heaviest thing about this whole election has been the unborn. I keep coming back to our unborn children. It just keeps right there, right in my face, the unborn. In 1973, we made it legal in America to kill our own children in the womb. Now, think about that for a moment. You think, you know, it's amazing how evil I can be without God. And the reason I'm saying I is I'm not pointing the finger at other people. I know what I'm like. I know what mankind is like. Mankind, including us in this room, without the Spirit of God, we can go to great, great depths of darkness. And when you think about the killing of our own children in our own mother's wombs, in your mind you think, where would a civilization have to get to where they not only would do that, but they would approve of it legally? I mean, honestly, we're so used to it now after almost 40 years, after a generation that's like, yeah, abortion, we don't like it, but it's there. Almost kind of nonchalant. But if you really meditate for a moment, I was thinking about Cain and Abel. Actually, I think God brought it to my attention because I wasn't really thinking about it until it just popped in there. And that all happened tonight when God redirected what I was going to share. And he said, what have you done with your brother? His blood cries out to me from the ground. And it was as if the Lord spoke to me, and I don't want to get too, let me back up. That sounds so spiritual. My thoughts in my mind, whether it was me or God, I thought, Lord, that was one person that died. Almost 62 million babies have now cried out from the womb in our nation. 2,300 a day, 150 during this service will die. Statistically, according to national statistics, 150 babies will be killed while we're here having our Bible study. And it's all done legally in the silence of the mother's womb where no one can hear the scream. And that baby goes to the throne. Its blood cries out to God from the mother's womb. And they're just gathering a massive crowd of 62 million babies saying, Lord, it sure is great here. But when will you take up for us? How long will it be until you bring justice for what they've done to us in America? How long, Lord? I was walking and praying and reasoning with the Lord, saying, God, have mercy on us. And it seemed as though every time I was crying out for mercy, I kept thinking about all these babies. And my prayer went from, Lord, have mercy on us, to, Lord, we've really made a statement to heaven. I expect the world to make a statement to heaven. I expect the world, they don't know. Look, before I came to the Lord, I was pro-abortion. It didn't bother me at all. I didn't care. I didn't like go around trying to promote it, but it didn't bother me. I mean, you just don't think about it. You don't think about it as really killing a baby. You just kind of, it's abortion. It's almost like adultery. It's better to say it's an affair. An affair sounds easier to kind of handle. I got involved in an affair. Ooh, it's not good, but not that bad. Good thing you didn't commit adultery. Because if you had committed adultery, that would have been really bad. But you just had an affair. So we say, well, we have abortion, but it's the murder of our babies. Now, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? That's what it is. It's the murder of our babies. Now, I expect the world to do that. I didn't know any better. I did, you know, I had no issues with it. It didn't bother me at all, and it didn't affect me. But I think the thing that's been heavy with me about this whole election is I feel like God gave us an opportunity to put an end to it. It's almost like God said, all right, it's almost been a full generation. And although you may not like him, I'm going to give you a president who will put a stop to it. And he'll put judges in place to make sure it does get stopped. But I'm going to leave it up to you, America, the second time around, whether you give him the chance to finish the job or send him home. I wonder how accountable our nation will be on Judgment Day for all the babies that have cried out from the wombs of America, and we continue to vote people in that promoted it. I wonder how much accountability will be unbelievers who just did nothing. Well, I don't like either of them, so I'm not going to vote. Okay? I just wonder. I'm not saying. I just wonder what will be the accountability before God? I don't know. And then I started thinking, what will be the accountability for believers who voted to keep that going? And even promote it, as very openly the liberal agenda has been, now they're going to change the law federally to kill our babies all the way up until birth. They said, if we win, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to use taxpayer money to pay for it. It's called the Hyde Amendment. And then statistics tell us 40 million Christians don't vote. I just wonder, what's the accountability on that day? I don't know. But it's a big deal. And I think that the church needs to wake up. It's not about politics. It's not about social issues. It's not about which guy you like or don't like. It's about God's viewpoint of the earth and what's going on. And do we have any ability to impact it for good? Now, I don't mean to be a big downer for you guys tonight. That's not my heart. As I was crying out for mercy and praying to God, it's almost like God kept saying to me, he didn't say that he wouldn't give mercy. I just kept thinking in my mind, we don't deserve it now. He gave us a chance. And we brushed it off. I don't know what that means. And again, it's not done yet. I realize that. Things could change. And maybe speaking too soon. But it is very heavy on my heart when I think of what's the future now for these other unborn babies. And I think as believers, we're going to have to rise above politics. We just have to do it, guys. Somehow, we all have a look, everybody in here is real passionate about your politics, probably, or most of you. You've got things you really want it to happen, and it means a lot to you, and you might even go and march and stand in line and go to a big meeting and make your voice known. There's nothing wrong in that. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is, what is our motivation? Is it to get our political thing passed? Is it so that we can have what we want in place? Or do we have a higher vision, looking at the earth from God's perspective and saying, look, everybody's a sinner. Nobody's really good. But which group is going to save the lives of the children? It's a big deal. He says, you're a very present help in time of trouble. Even the earth be removed and mountains be thrown into the sea. Meditate on that. God's a help. So we need to realize, regardless of the spiritual darkness we see that looms over our nation and could even come in a greater measure with what we've just done as a nation, now he turns the eyes toward, but there's hope. And this is where we have to have this hope. As believers, we have to have this hope. He says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. That God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. He's talking now about the second coming when the Lord comes back. He says, God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. This is talking about the second coming. So what the sons of Korah are saying is, yes, it may get really dark and ugly on this earth, and it will, because mankind, we're sinners. We are dark. Everybody in this room, if it wasn't for Jesus, we would be really dark. It's just the truth. And those that don't know Jesus, they still are really dark. We're just restrained by the Holy Spirit and our eyes have been opened. So we're all in this, you know, kind of same fleshly bodies that have these things. But the hope that we have is that no matter how dark this world gets and no matter how much damage mankind brings upon himself because of our sin nature, he's coming back. And when Jesus comes back, he'll rule and reign. And get this, the righteous will rule and reign with him on this earth, and they'll never be removed again, and there'll never be sorrow or sadness. Is that good news or what? So we think about, yeah, these are heavy things going on, but the future that we have, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and his rulership over the earth, astounding. That's what we have to look forward to. And he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Meditate on that. So we can meditate on trouble, but now we meditate on hope. The hope that we have in Jesus. He says, now in this third segment here, again, he just gets the eyes further on the Lord. He talks about after the second coming. He says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. So he is our warrior. God will fight for us. God will be the one that brings justice. You know, it's interesting. We talked about all the babies in heaven, which are now, you know, adults, you know, that are crying out for justice before God, that are at the hands of America, before the Lord, whatever that payday is going to be, it's going to come someday. But at the same time, the Bible says in Revelation, those that are killed during the Great Tribulation that know the Lord, it says that those of the earth will put to death believers who are in the Great Tribulation. And it says they're also going to go before the throne. And they're going to be crying out as well, saying, what about us? You know, defend us. They put us to death. And he says he's going to put a white robe on them, white robe of righteousness, and say, just hold on a little bit longer. There's going to be a day of judgment. Of course, that all gets taken care of in God's wrath when payday comes, so to speak. It's going to be when he burns the chariots in fire, when he breaks the bows and cuts the spear in two. That's what he's talking about. God's going to ultimately bring justice and make everything right that's been made wrong on the earth by mankind. And then I think this right here is something we all need to meditate on, regardless of where we are as a nation right now, but certainly important as where we are as a nation. And really, my grievance is, again, it's not even as much as a nation, although it grieves me. It's really almost more of a grief for the church, because I feel the church needs to be awakened to what's really going on. The church has to get the spiritual view. I think the church is too politically minded. We're too politically focused. We can't be that way. We have to rise above the politics, or we're not going to make it as a church. We've got to see things from God's perspective and go from God's perspective. And here's the answer to that. What a great verse to memorize and meditate on. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And he says again that phrase he already said at the beginning, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, meditate on this. Think about it. And so you have these meditations. This is a great psalm just to meditate on and to think about and to take before the Lord. And again, just to realize that the Lord's in control. You know, I want to encourage us. And like I said, we're not going to do much more. We're going to end here in a moment and have communion, have a time of prayer. So we can praise the body for our nation. Whatever God puts in your heart to pray and however you want to pray. It's not really, we use wisdom in the prayer. It's not really going to be a time to, you know, any type of attacks or these kind of things, but praying for our nation, for God to have mercy on us as a nation. But I think more than ever, this is a time where we need to really get focused on the things of the Lord. You know, I really feel like that we are living in the last days. I believe that. And I know people say, well, every generation has believed that. That's true, and I think God does that on purpose because he wants every generation on fire. He wants every generation watching. But the difference in our generation and the prior generations, we're the first one where everything is really in place to where it could really happen. Israel really is back in the land. Prior to 1948, the end times really couldn't take place. And not only is Israel back in the land, we see a world that's ready to join together as one in unity. And the only nation in the world holding that back may have just been removed. We don't know yet. We were it. This was the only nation stopping the world union. So, yeah, we look at it and think, oh no, what's going to happen? And then we think of the consequences and what's going to happen. But there's also a very hopeful nearness of the Lord's return. I mean, guys, the Lord, before he can come back, before he comes for his church, before the last 7 years, before the great tribulation, there has to be a unification of the entire world, breaking down all walls and becoming one. It has to happen. And then out of that unity, Revelation says, then there'll be one that rises up, a small one at first, kind of an unknown, kind of someone that doesn't have a lot of power. He's going to rise up in the middle of this world union together, which we might be on the cusp of now. You want it, you're like, Lord, are you going to restrain? How much longer do we have? I don't know. But it almost looks like we might be on the verge of seeing this thing move forward. I'm not making predictions. I'm not naming days or hours. Don't worry. Your pastor is going to stay biblical. But if we unify and everybody's ready to get all these accords back together, the France Accord, all these other accords, everybody tear down all the walls, everybody, one big happy world family. At the same time, Israel back in the land, at the same time, Mark of the Beast technology, they're already talking about tracing us with our vaccines and our all these things with viruses, etc. It's all here. Let's not get so used to it that we don't recognize it. Let's not get so used to it we go to sleep and think, well, it's kind of always been developing. No, it could literally overnight. He will rise up when this group comes together, and it could happen very quickly. There'll be one that'll rise up, and he's going to yank three of them down. And he's going to take over the world. It's very specific details we have prophetically about how this is going to happen. And then we head into the Great Tribulation. And nobody, I doubt there's any woman in here that looked forward to or enjoyed the process of having your baby. Now, I can't imagine. So I really just like all that pain. It was great. I mean, especially there at the heaviest, you know, it was just really, I can't imagine that. So I would assume I'm right about that one. I've never been there, so I can't compare. I would assume I'm right on that. But here's the reality. You have to go through that to have the baby. And the Lord said the last days will be like a woman in birth pangs, which means some generation is going to have to go through the birth canal of the new kingdom, if you will. The birth of the baby, the new kingdom, Jesus Christ coming back to rule and reign over the earth. And if God gives us the privilege to be that one, he'll take us out of here before it gets really bad. The major contractions don't happen until the Great Tribulation. And I firmly believe the Bible says we'll be taken out of here before that. So it's almost like, you know, we can see that it's time for the baby, but we kind of get this heavenly epidural. And then we're gone. The world goes through hard labor. And we come back with the king to rule and reign in a new kingdom that just got birthed with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. So, serious days, yes. Accountability for the world and maybe even the church in some ways, yes. That's what the blood's for. That's why we run to the cross, so we can be cleansed and forgiven, world and church. We all have that hope in the forgiveness of the cross. And yet the hope that Jesus comes back to rule and reign and again start his kingdom. So we have wonderful days ahead, a wonderful future ahead, wonderful hope ahead. I know tonight was kind of heavy and tonight was kind of somber, but again, we end on an up note because our hope is in the Lord. And I just really, felt that God put that on my heart to share. But I think that God also wants us to make sure we have our focus on the kingdom. And so we're going to finish with this portion. Get ready for communion. We'll have some worship and communion. And then we'll just have a time of prayer and just praying for our nation. You know, you never know what God's going to do. And we'll cry out to the Lord and we'll see what God does. You know, my prayer has always been, Lord, hold back the world unification and all this stuff until you come and get your church out of here. I still want to pray that he does that. But if he doesn't, well, then we'll trust him in the midst of it. He's going to be faithful. So let's pray and ask God to really, again, drive his word home to our heart tonight. Pray for our nation, and then we'll get ready for communion tonight. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your words, and I thank you for Psalm 46 and the hope that it gives us. It is a very sobering psalm, and yet, Lord, it's a very hopeful psalm. Lord, you say you're a very present help in time of trouble. I believe our nation is in great trouble. And it's not based on anything other than the choices that we make as a nation. And the statement that we make to heaven through those choices. And Father, I pray you'd have mercy on us. I pray you'd send revival to your church. I pray, God, you send a spirit of conviction and evangelism on our nation as a whole. And Lord, we ask in whatever form and fashion you would do it, mercy on our unborn children. God, they have no one to protect them. We are, as your word says, to be a voice for the voiceless. We are to be those, Lord, who cry out and speak up for our children in voice and in action. God, if we haven't done that in the past, forgive us. But I pray, God, that we'll never let that happen again. that we'll always, Lord, do our best. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And I pray you would have mercy on our nation. And I just thank you, Lord, for this time in Psalm 46. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.